Today we continue our reading of Sri Priya Bhagavatamrita, part 1, chapter 7, Purna, the complete perfection. Now Krishna has begun to realize that he's not actually in Braj, he's actually in New Vrindavan, and that the whole scene that has been arranged so Balaram now is going to speak and try to ease Krishna's re-entry into his normal state of consciousness. Text 56. Sri Balade Uvacha Atmanam Anusandehi Vaikunteshwara Matprabho Avatirno Sibhubhara Haraya Gyapito Marai. Sri Baladev said, "O my master, Lord of Vaikuntha, please consider who you are. You were asked by the demigods to descend to remove the burden of the earth. Dushtan sambaratachishtan patipalaya samprati yagyam paitri swasyasyasya Dhammarajasya Santanu. Now please, destroy the wicked and protect everyone else. Your cousin, Dhammaraj, King Yudhishthir, has undertaken a sacrifice. Please see to getting it performed." Commentary. Digdarshini. Balaram here requests Krishna to think of himself as the Lord of Vaikuntha and Balaram as his aid. Anantishesh. Even though Krishna is indeed the son of Nanda Maharaj, he should now carry out the mission for which he and Balaram have descended from Vaikuntha. Of course, they had actually descended from Goloka Vrindavan. But Goloka and Vaikuntha are in many respects non-different. When Krishna descends to this world, he brings within himself all of his personal expansions, including the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus, when he comes from Goloka, he is simultaneously coming from Vaikuntha. Krishna's main purpose for descending is to distribute the special kind of pure love found only at his own lotus feet by playing his pastimes in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Dwarka is not the suitable place for this purpose. But if Krishna turns his mind to this main objective, Balaram thinks, he is likely to become completely unsettled again. Therefore, Balaram calls Krishna Vaikunteshwar instead of Golokeshwar and tactfully points out that Krishna's current task is to relieve the earth of its burden by destroying evildoers and protecting law-abiding citizens. Most immediately, Yudhishthira needs Krishna's support for the Rajasuya Yajna. After achieving these secondary aims, Balaram implies Krishna will be free to absorb himself in his first aim without impediments. So, Lord Balaram is acting as Krishna's elder brother. Even though Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all other forms, including Lord Balaram. And therefore, Balaram is actually none different than Krishna. Still, Balaram thinks himself a servant. Even though he's acting as Lord Krishna's elder brother, and Lord Krishna is looking to his brother to settle the question at hand. The question at hand is, who is he? No one should be confused, especially if they're in the material world, if they're not always sure who they are, because we are now material absorbed and we have forgotten who we really are in the spiritual world. We've forgotten our eternal spiritual identity. And therefore, factually, we're always confused when we're in the material world about who we are. Of course, Krishna's confusion is not like that. As I was speaking yesterday, Krishna's confusion is based on a different principle completely. As is mentioned in the purport commentary to this verse, Sanatana Goswami is explaining that Krishna comes to this world for different reasons. There are primary reasons and there are secondary reasons. And he performs the different functions with different parts of his personality. Krishna is Krishna. And all of Krishna's expansions are also Krishna. Therefore, you'll find in the prayers of Jayadev Goswami, beginning of Gita Govinda, when he glorifies all the different incarnations of Krishna, the ten principal. There's unlimited incarnations of Krishna, but the ten principal ones, Jayadev glorifies, in order to establish in the heart of the reader, of the hearer, who Krishna is, before he begins to describe Krishna's intimate affairs in Vrindavan. And at the end of each of those stanzas, we will hear the word Keshava. Keshava is a word for Krishna. Vrindavan Krishna, the original Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, in Goloka Vrindavan. Keshava Dvipa, Buddha Shriva, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. So many incarnations he's glorified, but at each, at the beginning of each, the end of each line, at the beginning, it's Keshava Dvipa. So Krishna, all the incarnations, all the expansions, all the swamsha personalities of Godhead are actually all Krishna. But they exhibit only a part of Krishna's personality, only a part of Krishna's opulences are displayed by these different incarnations. And most of them come to execute a specific mission. You know, Varaha comes to specifically to save the earth when it gets knocked out of its orbit and ends up in the bottom of the Garbhodak ocean. Lord Nrisimhadev appears specifically to protect Prahlad and to kill the demon Hiranyakashipu, the original demon. Like this, the different incarnations of Krishna come for different reasons. But Krishna, when he comes in his full personality. And all of those different incarnations, which are emanations from Krishna, they all are contained within the form of Krishna. Now, this doesn't mean that the different forms of Krishna are temporary. All of the forms of Krishna are eternal. So when we talk about expansions, when we talk about when we talk about where, we are talking not in ordinary terms, not in terms of ordinary time and space. All of Krishna's expansions are eternal. They all have their eternal places, their eternal existences in the spiritual world. Krishna, as we were saying yesterday, he is the supreme mystic. Yogeshwar is one of his names. Yogeshwar means mystic, the controller of mystic yoga. He is the source of mystic yoga. Therefore, he can do anything. And he can live in more than one place at one time. And he can live in different forms in more than one place at one time. And in that way, he supersedes or surpasses even the greatest of yogis who are dependent on him, after all, for their mystic power and their perfection. So, but still, when Krishna goes into all these different forms, there's something about each one of those forms that can remind the devotee of Krishna, even physically. Sometimes immature devotees who want to gate crash, they want to crash the party of the rasa dance, and they want to do that by fixing their minds on the gopis and Krishna. They don't know who they are in the spiritual world, but they're thinking that they want this because it's the topmost thing. And in doing that, they develop consciousness to look down upon the other devotees of Krishna's other incarnations and Krishna's other places. This is Maya, very subtle form of Maya, which prevents one from actually seeing Krishna everywhere. When Gopa Kumar, in the second part of Briya Bhagavatamrita, when Gopa Kumar is traveling from one planetary system to another through the coverings of the universe, finally into Vaikuntha and the different Vaikuntha planets and realms in Vaikuntha, he sees the incarnations of Krishna everywhere. He sees a different incarnation of Krishna. And although he's not satisfied completely, and that dissatisfaction, that very, very subtle dissatisfaction, causes him to move on to the next place, still, while he is in that place, while he is looking at the form of Vishnu, or looking at the form of Ram, or looking at the form of, you know, Maya Devi even, or Mohini Murti even, he sees Krishna there. He sees characteristics of Krishna. Jai Hari Bol. In his complexion, in his glance, in different features of personality. He sees Krishna, and therefore his love for Krishna is increased. Not only does he not feel averse to different forms of Krishna just because they are not complete, or just because they are not in Braj or whatever, the devotees, the real devotees, the pure devotees, they feel their love for Krishna expand in front of any of the incarnations of Krishna. Now that doesn't mean that necessarily the Brajvasis go looking for different incarnations of Krishna, but when those incarnations of Krishna are there, naturally present in the course of their religious life, in Braj, even demigods, they relish glorifying Krishna in all of his features, in all of his forms. In fact, they're so exalted that they think Krishna is dependent on these personalities, even though he's the source of all of them. And they always pray to those personalities for the protection of Krishna. Or they pray to those personalities for achieving Krishna permanently, or whatever. So Gopa Kumar, he felt the increase of his Krishna consciousness in the presence of these various incarnations of Krishna. What to speak of feeling averse to them, or turning his head when he saw them. This, when you see these things going on the earth right now in the name of the higher rasas, the rasika devotees seeking the nectar, always looking for the nectar, you can understand that there's some deviation, there's some mixing of something impure there, that they cannot fully appreciate the devotees of different incarnations of Krishna and the incarnations of Krishna. They're not seeing that they're Krishna. It's a sectarian viewpoint, a sectarian point of view. And that tends to separate them from others and cause all kinds of conflicts and unnecessary agitation in their hearts, which does not allow the heart to actually taste love for Krishna. So here, Krishna is realizing that he's in Dwarka, and he's realizing that, you know, whatever had just happened, he was dressed in, as a cowherd boy, and he was, you know, running to tend the cows with the cowherd boys, and he came upon the, you know, ocean, and he took it to be the Jamuna, and he invited all of his cowherd boyfriends, please come, we can happily play here, and we can sport to our, you know, to our full satisfaction. But when he saw the waves, the size of the waves, and when he looked to the side and he saw the opposing city of Dwarka, then he began to think again, wait a second, the Jamuna doesn't have waves like this. There's no big city like this in Braj. Where am I? And then he began to think, who am I? So even Krishna, he sometimes loses track, you know, of who he is. But his losing track of who he is different than our losing track of who we are. When we lose track of who we are, we forget completely who we are, and we think we're some kind of, you know, mundane, you know, bag of stool and urine and, you know, kapha and pitta and obnoxious substances that are so obnoxious that, you know, we have to put on deodorant, you know, or we have to, you know, take bath regularly, otherwise we become, you know, unbearable to ourselves, what to speak of to others. You know, this is the effect of Mahamaya, the effect of the material energy, is to make us think that we are this gross material body. And under that spell, under that illusion, we may think that we can serve Krishna personally and touch Krishna's body and be with Krishna, you know, under these abominable conditions. Not true. Therefore, when we worship the deity, we have to be extremely careful in our standards of cleanliness and our standards of punctuality. Hari Bol, Jeev Jago. Some of you are sleeping. So now, when Krishna comes to do his, he also feels duty. We may sometimes think, oh, when I become advanced, then I won't have to do duty. The temple commander could, you know, let me go now and I can just do something without having a duty, dutyless. But no, Krishna, he also feels duty. And he acts on that duty. And so he's so dutiful. He's so dutiful that even he tolerates separation from the Vrajvasis, which are his dearest ones. He cannot live without them, and they cannot live without him. And in the Prakat Lila, it appears as if they are living without one another. Of course, we know that in Aprakat, they're always together, and they don't ever have to leave one another, but still, inconceivably, in the Prakat Lila, they exhibit these pastimes. And even in Aprakat, sometimes Krishna will go, but he will go for a short period of time. But the devotees are so attached to Krishna that if they can't see him for a second, When the coward boys are playing with Krishna in the forest, and Krishna goes behind a tree, and they cannot see Krishna for an instant, they go crazy. They go mad. And we're thinking that we're loving Krishna. We're thinking that we can imitate this. When the gopis blink, they cannot tolerate that space of time during a blink when they cannot see Krishna. And they go mad in separation from Krishna. So we should not take this cheaply. We should not take this kind of consciousness cheaply. You can only taste those kinds of feelings and only enter into that mood and into those pastimes in a spiritual body, completely free from material contamination, completely free from material conditioning. And only those who Krishna chooses can enter. And Krishna chooses those who are favored by His devotees. Without being favored by Krishna's devotee, who has attained that level of Krishna consciousness, one cannot achieve Krishna. Krishna will not choose that person. But due to our material conditioning, to our material consciousness, we want to go closer to Krishna with our gross body. We want to sidestep all the different things we must do. We want to sidestep all the different personalities that we must develop affection for. And we want to go right to Krishna. This is our bhaja, so-called bhaja. Me and Krishna. Of course, even on that level of bhaja, it is not me and Krishna, it is becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of the surface, gopi, bharta, padakamali, or das, anudas, anudas. Even on that level of internal bhaja, we find ourselves, we should find ourselves looking for the service of the servant, of the servant, of the servant. And the more farther we come from Krishna and can develop that mood, the closer we are to Krishna, the more pleasing we become to Krishna. And in this way we can taste Krishna consciousness. And there's no shortcuts. There's no other way to taste pure, unadulterated Krishna consciousness. So now, Krishna is realizing that at this time and this place, he is meant to do his duty. And Balaram, acting as his elder brother, he's looking to Balaram to tell him what to do, to reveal to him. Just see, we want to be the one who reveals everything to everyone, and here is Krishna, the supreme source of everyone, the all-knowing personality of Godhead, looking to someone else to reveal to him what he's supposed to do. Krishna never feels independent. He's the supreme independent personality of God, but he never feels himself independent of his devotees. He feels completely dependent on his devotees. Sometimes the devotees, there's another misconception that sometimes creeps into the devotees' consciousness when they hear that the secondary purpose of Krishna was to deliver Braj Prem to everyone. And the primary purpose was to relish himself, Radha Bhav, the mood of Radharani. And then they make the mistake of thinking that one is spiritual and the other is material. So one is to be embraced and the other is to be rejected or avoided. Or it is a means to achieve something spiritual. That the preaching and the organizing of ourselves in a way that we become clean and effulgent and attractive to others is for the purpose of attracting the conditioned souls back to Krishna, back to home, back to Godhead. But in material consciousness, in immature attempts at spiritual consciousness, we may sometimes think that one is above the other, or one is material and one is spiritual. This is a mistake. And here, and in all these pastimes, Krishna points it out very clearly. And therefore, he's going to submit and respond to Lord Balaram. And he's going to remember his the form that he is now, the place he is now in, what his duty is, and he's going to do it. And the end of the purport of the commentary, Sanatana Goswami points out that Balaram is implying to Krishna that you will be free to absorb yourself in your first aim without any impediments by doing your duty. So this is Prakat Lila. This is Prakat Lila, where Krishna appears to go from one place to another, and he appears to do different missions, and then at the end he appears to leave. He appears to grow up, he appears to go through different phases of life, he appears to have different associates at different places, and then he appears to leave. This is Prakat Lila. In the Aprakat Lila, he lives in all these different places with all those expansions of his associates eternally. He identifies him, when he is expanded into Mathura, he identifies himself as a Mathuravasi. When he expands himself into Dwarka, he identifies himself as a Dwarkavasi, as a Yadu. But in the Prakat Lila, the pastimes mix. And therefore Krishna's identities mix. And he remembers, Braj. And that remembrance and the feeling of separation brings him back to Braj, even though he's identifying with his feature, Vasudev Krishna. In Prakat, in Aprakat, that never happens. They stay. Vasudev Krishna stays in Dwarka. Sometimes they go out, but they never lose their identity. He never loses his identity as a Dwarkavasi or a Mathuravasi or as a Brajvasi. And he always returns very quickly. This is the difference, one of the differences between the Prakat and the Aprakat. By studying and understanding Krishna, by understanding Krishna's position, by hearing the first nine cantos of the Bhagavatam and studying them and becoming fixed, by studying Bhagavad Gita and becoming fixed in the conclusions of Bhagavad Gita and in the symptoms of a soul who has assimilated Bhagavad Gita, by accepting the Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna accepted the Bhagavad Gita. Everything you're saying is true, Krishna. I accept everything you're saying is true, and I'm willing to do whatever you want. Yes, I will fight. I may not want to, but I will do that. This is surrender, full surrender, full self-surrender. Prabhupada used to call the Bhagavad Gita like bachelor's degree, and the Bhagavatam is the master's degree, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the PhD, like that. Graduate, postgraduate, and post-postgraduate study of Krishna. We have to do this, we have to study, and we have to understand. And while doing this, by meeting the topics that are difficult to understand, and even topics that are controversial, and by meeting them and studying them under proper guidance, our minds and intelligence have become strengthened. And with that strength of mind and intelligence, our quality of our devotion becomes stronger. And this is the path to awaken our full Braj Bhav. So here Balaram is advising Krishna, reminding Krishna, Now you've come. Remember, Brahma said, please come and help deliver the earth. We are in trouble. Now here we are. This is the phase that we're in. Now we have to do this duty. Vitishtitas tvaya bhasau chakavarti yudhishthira anushal bhadidushthanam vibheti madavikrama. You have established Yudhishthira as emperor, but he is intimidated by Shalva's younger brother and by other exceedingly powerful villains. Commentary. Yudhishthira will not dare face the challenge of staging Rajasuya sacrifice unless Krishna encourages him. And several opponents, like King Anushalva, need to be removed. Tat-tat-tagat-va-tan-hantum yadat-sva-yadu-yadu-bhi-saha tabhaiva-bhairatas-tehi-tabakan-pidayantitan. Please, therefore, go to Yudhishthira and with the help of the Yadus, try to kill his enemies who are persecuting your devotees out of hatred for you. Commentary. These words are aimed at inducing Krishna to put aside the exalted sweet taste of intimate love and assume instead the contrary mood of militant anger. To stir up Krishna's fury, Balaram suggests here that without the help of the Yadus, Krishna might be unfit to kill these enemies. These enemies are Krishna's, since Yudhishthira does not consider anyone an enemy. When Akrura came to Vrindavan to collect Krishna, and to take him to Mathura to kill Kansa. Just before he left, there was a very poignant, touching scene between him and the Vrajavasis, especially the gopis. And Akrura was beside himself with how to convince Krishna to come to Mathura. There he was with the gopis and with Yashoda and Nanda, and the cowherd boys and the cows. The love that they shared, the love that they had was all-powerful, the purest, most exalted, most satisfying, most ecstatic. And there they were together. Why should he leave? So the arguments that Akrura used to actually convince Krishna were to remind him how Kansa was treating his parents. He said, this Kansa is such a rascal. He's put your parents in jail. And he raises his sword constantly over their head in order to intimidate them, in order to make them suffer as much as possible. How can you tolerate this? So, Krishna is compassionate for others. He's compassionate to others. He feels. And the devotee of Krishna is even more so. Sanatana Goswami describes the devotee to be paradukaduki. Paradukaduki means when he sees others unhappy, he's unhappy. And when he sees others happy, he's happy. But we, being under the throes of impersonalism, we tend to separate ourselves from others and not care about the feelings of others, about the sufferings of others. And we go about our way to try to isolate ourselves and be just me and Krishna. Or just me and, you know, Krishna and the Vrajavasis. And everyone else is out. We don't want to be with them. We don't want to help them. We don't care. This is not Vraj Bhava or Another way of putting this, you cannot get to Braj Bhav like that. We get to Braj Bhav in this age, at this time, in this place, by perfecting our Dasya Ras with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us the path. He left Navadvip, took sannyas, and what did he do? He wanted to go to Vrindavan. He did, but his mother said, no, you can't go to Vrindavan, it's too far away. I'll never hear anything about you. You have to go to Puri. So he said, yes, mother, I'm yours. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And he went to Puri. And from Puri, what did he do? He traveled and he preached. For 6 solid years, all over India, he traveled and preached and delivered the whole Indian subcontinent before he secluded himself. Before he went to Puri and began to exhibit the higher symptoms of Radha Bhav, which cannot be imitated by anyone. So the way back to this Braj Bhav, the way back to this position of actually being a resident of Vrindavan, what to speak of Govardhan, is to take, to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Panchatattva. That is Srila Prabhupada. Anybody who was there at this installation of the Panchatattva deities could see clearly, clearly the power and the magnificence and the sweetness simultaneously going on as all the devotees worked feverishly to install those deities. And the reciprocation that was coming from the deities swept everyone away in this ocean of affection and compassion and desire to spread Krishna consciousness, to give this Krishna consciousness to others, not to be selfish. So here Balaram is pointing out to Krishna, you've established Yudhishthira, you've done part of your duty, but you haven't done the full duty because there's still all of these demoniac persons who think ill of Yudhishthira. And why do they think ill of Yudhishthira? Because they're your enemies. Yudhishthira doesn't have any enemies. He's a Jatashatra. He doesn't have any enemies. Therefore, these people are thinking that he's their enemies because they're your enemies. So you have to deal with them. And in this way, Krishna, yes, he became enlightened by his older brother. Right? The supreme authority becomes enlightened by superior authority, his elder brother. And he agrees, yes, I must do it. And then we'll explain about that tomorrow, the next time. Hare Krishna. Shibriya Bhagavata Mrita Ki Jai. Shri Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada.